And we're very, very happy to have with us this morning Council Speaker of the City of New York, Melissa Mark Viverito, joining us on the line this morning. Good morning, Council Speaker.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So yesterday you put out a statement about the grand jury decision and was appropriately forceful. Do you think that this situation can create a political crisis between the mayor and the police commissioner because the indictment of the police policies are implied?
First of all, obviously with the decision yesterday, you know, my heart and my prayers are going out to the family. This is an incredibly difficult time. I think there were many of us that had some sort of glimmer of hope that the grand jury would issue an indictment, right? And so when the decision came down, it was really harsh for many of us. It took many of us back, and I'm sure for the family, it was extremely even more so. And so what we are committed to, you know, me as a Speaker of the City Council, prior to being Speaker, as a council member, I've been consistently demanding that the NYPD needs serious reforms. And that is what we will continue to do. We have a new administration with a new commissioner that have at least acknowledged, and we have definitely a more open ear with regards to the concerns that we have. We have to have faith, and the system can change, and we have to continue to demand that those changes happen. So we are going to continue to raise our voice. You know, we have seen some adjustments happen at the end of the last administration with the federal case regarding stop and frisk. We have seen an incredible number of reductions in stop and frisk based on the community's demands and the organizing that has happened around that. There are policy changes that are being implemented, and I'm the first to say that I want to see changes happen overnight, but I'm also realistic to understand that sometimes these changes need time to take effect because we're dealing with an organizational culture that has been recalcitrant, right, to change. So that's where we are at. So it's a time to reflect. It's a time to express ourselves in that frustration and to continue to organize and to demand change. And that's what the City Council will consistently be doing.
The implementation of these body cameras is a great idea. But given the fact that we have a pretty complete videotape of what happened, digital file of what happened, do you think that body camera would add even more evidence in this case?
Well, that's, you know, a valid point. That's what people are saying. It's like there's a sense of injustice that we feel that here we have literally a man dying before our eyes. There is video footage, and that even with that, the grand jury couldn't say, like, let's just kick this over to a trial, right? Which is the basic responsibility that the grand jury had, was to find probable cause and then kick it over to a criminal trial. That obviously is of concern. But the issue with the body cameras, I think, is there's a different dynamic involved in that you have, other than a bystander taping what is occurring, now you actually have officers who are wearing a camera that as part of their training, they're being told that any movement or any action you take is going to be videotaped. I think that might change the psyche a bit of officers if they're on the ground and they literally have equipment that is taping them as they're interacting with the community. So I can't, you know, I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a fortune teller and I can't predict. But I think that sets up a different dynamic, and that's why you've heard the consistent voices of a public advocate and others demanding that we start implementing the body cameras. And now in New York City, there is going to be a pilot that will see that happening in the next, immediately, my understanding. It's happening pretty quickly.
Mm. We're speaking with City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito. She's joining us on the morning show here on WBAI. Melissa, you were visibly upset when the decision came down, and I know this is just all of this has happened within this last 24 hours. Have you had a chance to speak to any of the people in your district to gauge their reactions and frustrations?
Well, I mean, the minute I heard about the decision and we issued the statement from the council, my interest was to be with my colleague Debbie Rose in Staten Island. So I headed to Staten Island, and I was there when the mayor and Debbie convened a meeting with clergy and community leaders. I did a press conference to really express the disappointment and interacted with the press. And in my district, I know people started to organize as well. I mean, we're seeing that citywide. And communities have had these interactions more explicitly than others. And my district has, between two of the precincts that I represent, have a lot of stop and frisks. And these are concerns that are expressed. I know that there are concerns. So, but the message is that, you know, we have a right to be upset. We have a right to demand accountability of our police department. We have the right to organize in a productive way and respect the wishes of the family, which has said, you know, clearly that they don't want any expressions of violence, but that's not honoring the memory of Eric Garner. But we have the right to express ourselves in a way that will effectuate change. And the first thing that we're doing is asking for reforms and asking for greater accountability of the police department. And that's what we're asking of the commissioner as well, to implement whatever policy changes and the training that's been talked about as quickly as possible. Now we're starting to see the implementation of body cameras and other things because people are demanding that, and that's what we are going to do.
Yeah, well, I'm very glad that you're expressing and the city government is expressing support for the right to people to protest and organize against this decision. I just want to ask you, though, about the broken windows policy or philosophy, which was developed in large part by the current police commissioner, and who, you know, the police commissioner has resisted on several occasions, especially earlier in the year, the kind of reforms that you're asking for. And, of course, Eric Garner himself was, confronted for basically a quality of life issue. And there's also been some statistics about marijuana arrests not decreasing. So do you think that that is really a significant piece that should be reformed as we move forward?
We have to continue to do oversight. Obviously, I'm sure there are changes on that front as well that we need to see. We got it with the level of scrutiny that we did with stop and frisk, and I was one of the ones that said I'm not talking about getting rid completely of stop and frisk, but reform it in a way where we're doing more effective policing on the ground. And now we've seen reductions from a high of 700,000 stop and frisks under the Bloomberg administration to this year probably getting down to below 50,000. So, you know, that's a vast change, which only came about because of the organizing on the ground and a demand for accountability. So now we have the issue of the broken windows, policing, and we've got to do accountability on that as well. And we've got to do oversight hearings, and we've got to figure out exactly how it's being implemented and what changes can come about. Clearly, what happened to Eric Garner is unacceptable. Clearly, to have an individual that was selling Lucy's not have lost his life, to have seen on video that he was screaming for, he couldn't breathe more than 10 times, have more than 8 officers and nothing was being done. I mean, that's just not acceptable for anybody who's looking at that video. And that's not obviously an acceptable outcome. So we're going to demand continued reforms. We're going to do our oversight. We have been aggressive as a legislative body in oversight with the NYPD. We're going to continue to do that and demand changes continue to be implemented and see how that is happening as we go along and here in the spectrum of time.
Well, Council Speaker Melissa Mark Bibarito, we appreciate you joining us and spending
this
time with us this morning. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
From time to time, we'll reach back out and have you on the broadcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.